Hi, everybody. Welcome to Unredacted Town Hall VIP thing, where I talk to you guys for a while, and I have my father-in-law, Edmundo, here with me. We are chilling and illing, enjoying a little... what are we enjoying there, dude?
Kentucky bourbon.
Kentucky bourbon? No, gotta speak up.
Bourbon whiskey, yeah.
Yeah, well, what's the brand?
Bissell Hyde.
Basil Hayden. So we're gonna enjoy that. I actually have some Circa Argentinian Merlot, and it is fantastic. I'm finishing that up. I'll swing right into the whiskey when we're done. So how's that old 401k doing for you?
Well, it's done better this week.
Well, it's been quite a ride, and I. A lot of people ask the question, you voted for Trump because you're not a communist.
Of course.
Okay. You've seen all the things he's doing. Now, there are certain things you might not like him doing or prefer he didn't do, but he's doing like 100 different things, right?
Right.
Would you say, in general, this is what you voted for?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Yes.
Now, you actually escaped from communism, much like me, having... We're here in Houston. I'm not in California at the moment. I'm at the Houston house.
Yeah, I escaped Cuban communism.
Okay. Did you see any parallels with what Biden was doing?
A lot of similarities.
What was similar?
Well, one thing that people don't talk much about is taking away the freedom of speech, slowly but surely, by controlling the different media. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I noticed. Among other things, but that's the biggest. Secondly, trying to impose the will of the elite upon the people of the country. So those are two things were very
familiar
to me.
Well, it was like 60 years ago that you left you.
Even though I was barely a teenager when all started, you learn very quickly what communism is, especially when you, in your household, at 13, 14 years old, they run out of food and they run out of everything, including toothpaste, for example.
You didn't have toothpaste.
As a 13-year-old, the first time I ever waited in line to buy anything, it was a toothpaste at a grocery store in Havana, Cuba.
So in Havana, Cuba, you guys didn't have did you have toothpaste before?
Oh yeah, that was a problem.
Again, I don't want to come along as an idiot. I was born in 1964. I couldn't have been in Cuba before that. I don't think people have a picture of Cuba except what they saw in The Godfather Part 2.
Well, listen.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Cuba was probably the best developed country in not only in the Caribbean, South America, but in many other, actually they're rated higher than Australia in household income.
Really?
Yes.
See, one of the things I said so many times, I've said many times, it takes socialism to make California poor. I think it takes socialism and communism to make a country full of Cubans poor. I mean, my gosh. You came here with literally nothing. You had like what, one bag as a 12-year-old?
40-pound bag of clothing.
You had a 40-pound bag of clothing, nothing else.
Nothing else.
And you guys have built a pretty amazing life here. You were telling me today, you were giving me advice, you're going, oh well, you need to do what we did. We took a 23-day cruise to Greece and in Israel and stuff. I mean, you guys came here with nothing, and you've done all right.
Yeah, well, it took a few years. It took a lot of hard work, but we accomplished it.
But you managed to do stuff, and your family is very successful, particularly your daughter, because she's lucky enough to marry me. And there goes, I don't know if you guys heard it in the background, That was Carmen, the madre en ley. I don't know if that's how they say it. I'm just saying words that I think are Spanish at this point. But she was like laughing at me because apparently I'm hilarious. But no, I think, I mean, you got, look, you guys are the, look, I'm spoiled, right? I not only was born in America, I grew up in California in the 70s and 80s. Okay. I literally grew up in the greatest place in the entire history of mankind. Okay. California in the 70s and 80s was literally best place you could possibly be. And I don't, the thing is, I don't know if I appreciate everything until I began going overseas with the Army and I ended up in a bunch of third world hellholes. It kind of taught me, oh, maybe, you know, the entire world is not great like California is or was. So I think a lot of us don't appreciate the reality that all this is not necessarily the natural state of mankind, you know?
I agree with you, Kurt. But what happened to California?
Well, California got fat and stupid.
Way before Gavin Newsom, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, it did. We started up, you know, we allowed illegal aliens in. People got lazy and forgot what made California great. And what made California great was a small government that focused on actually doing stuff. And in California, look, California was not like a no government kind of place. California was, we have big projects. We're going to make freeways. We're going to have a college system where if you're a B-plus student at a California high school, you're going to go to a really good college. Okay? And, you know, we're going to do dams so you'll have water. We're going to do canals so you can get water. I went to UC San Diego. I had like a C average in high school because I just didn't care. But I had really good SATs. And my first legal scam was figuring out that they had to take me if I got a certain number on the SAT or higher. UC had to take me. And I got into UC San Diego. Do you know what you have to do to get into UC San Diego these days? It's like Harvard. Okay? It's like you need a 4.3, you know, 50 AP test. You have to start your own nonprofit. And you certainly can't be a heterosexual white male.
Well,
I would never get in now, but everybody in there was like me, which is pretty good student, pretty smart. We weren't dummies. But if you were in California and you were a good student, you were going to a UC, and that's what we built. But that's gone, right? You can't do that.
With all those requirements, they forgot what Ronald Reagan taught them. How did that happen?
You know, I think they just got lazy. They got... And I think it's a cycle, you know, it's the strong men make good times make weak men make bad times, and then so forth. And that's what happened. And I think they feminized a lot of things. California one time was very much, you know, hey, we're going to make a great state, but, you know, if you don't make the best of it, that's your problem. Now it's like, oh, well, you know, we got to get free all sorts of stuff to these bums who aren't doing anything. Oh, we've got to pay. You know, we were supposed to have a high-speed rail between LA and San Francisco for $30 billion by 2020. And now we're going to have high-speed rail between Fresno and Merced for $130 billion in 2030. Now, if you've ever been to Fresno or Merced, and I've been to both, because I had to do law stuff there. There's literally no other reason to go either one of them. I don't think there's ever going to be $130 billion worth of traffic between Fresno and Merced. And yet that's where they're plowing their money. And then you're going, well, you know, we need more. Well, you don't need more. You need much, much less.
Decisions like that is why people from California end up in Texas. So
I think you're right. I love California. I love the weather and everything. But I mean, Texas is fantastic. The weather right now is amazing. It's spring. We are hanging out on the porch. That dogs over there are many dogs. Carmen's got a dog in her lap. She's got Bitey. They're going to bark now because there's a golden retriever coming. Everybody, everybody's got a dog around here.
You're going to start barking here pretty soon.
Blondie, do not bark at the golden. Do not bark at the golden. Blondie, Bitey, Farky, knock it off. They literally have a golden retriever friend.
Are they doing?
Yeah. My brother's golden retriever.
Oh.
They literally have a golden retriever friend. It is not like a stunning change of scenery for them. Dogs love Texas, by the way. I go, we're going bye-byes in the car to Texas. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's go. It is so weird. But, okay. So, anyway, we talked about communism. We talked about California. You're not disappointed in Trump. Did you ever expect Trump to be perfect?
No.
So, when something happens like, oh, well, we sent a guy who wasn't supposed to go to El Salvador. He could have gone anywhere else. But he sent him to El Salvador. That doesn't freak you out?
I don't know.
I find it weird that people's standard for Donald Trump is perfection. Oh, we sent one illegal alien to El Salvador instead of literally every other country in the world because he's, for 5 years, has had a removal order. And, you know, Biden didn't send him. And they're like, well, now we can't deport anybody.
Everybody underestimates Trump and what he's accomplishing. And it seems like nobody knows what's in the back of his mind. But it turns out that every time he does something, it makes sense after a few days or a few weeks, even if in the beginning it does not.
You know, I feel the same way. And it's like, I don't know if it's all 4D chess. But I do know that with Donald Trump, stuff seems to work out. And if you remember Napoleon, you're an army guy like me. If you remember Napoleon said, I'll take a lucky general over a good general any day. And I kind of feel that way. Because, you know, Trump does these things and people initially freak out. And then it's like, oh, well, that kind of worked out really well. Nonetheless. It just does.
You know, a lot of people say the art of the deal. I used to think that was BS. Well, I'll tell you what. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's 10 steps ahead of everybody in every situation that he's in. That's what the Democrats don't know. What the hell they're going to do about it.
Well, he's hit them like a freight train in the first 100 days. The legal stuff. And by the way, everybody's like, oh, these judges, they're holding us back and blah, blah, blah. We knew exactly what was going to happen. I could have sat there and told you all this was going to happen. And he's handled it very well. We're now to the point where the Supreme Court's having to make decisions, and they're making decisions. They're largely in Trump's favor. Even the one that said, well, try and facilitate bringing, you know, this dumbass back. But that was...
The other thing is, if he makes mistakes, he's not afraid to stop and readjust what he's doing.
That's the other thing. The guy seems that, you know, for a guy with so much pride, he doesn't seem to have any pride. He's like, nah, I'm going to stop this today.
That's right.
Tariff stuff has allegedly brought, what, 70 guys to the negotiating table?
That's right. The tariff, yeah.
There's 160 countries in the world. So he's got about just under half the countries in the world have come to renegotiate their tariffs. Seems like a pretty good, you know, result to me. The other thing is, I've been looking at the stock market, and I am, you know, of all my stock market stuff, I play with 1/15 myself. I leave the other money with the professionals. I play with 1/15, and I've done fantastically well because I put a lot in with Tesla and Amazon and some other ones that have done really well. But I look at the stock market, and I had to say, I thought it was overvalued. I thought, you know, we had a lot of money on paper, and I just thought it was inflated. I just didn't think it was real. And this correction, and corrections have to happen, you know, I don't like it. I would much rather the numbers on my computer were much more happy.
That's right.
But today I'm not taking any money out. I may have to in a couple months. But, you know, I finished building the houses.
I am not a financial person. I'm not an economist. But I know that the stock market in a few months, it will be back to where it was not too long.
I think you're right. I'm optimistic. If you look, inflation is down. Gas prices, you know, oil price, it's like $65 a barrel.
Prices, even though this is Easter, are down.
Yep. The only problem with $65 oil prices is it kind of hurts a lot of the guys in Texas.
That's right.
That's a little low. If you've watched Landman, you understand that. They all have the, you know, slutty ex-wife and slutty daughter that I have to take care of. That's, you know, currently a thing.
You sound like a California-type person, Kurt.
I am a California-type person. I'm a Californian. I'm not ashamed of it. I shouldn't be ashamed. California used to be the greatest state in the country. It used to be the best place in the world.
If you keep talking like that, we might not let you back in Texas.
I love Texas. I come out here. I enjoy it. I'd like to spend more time here. It is like some nice people just rode by. Their health. Everybody's walking. It is where we are in Houston. It's a fantastic place.
The Heights.
And you know what? I want this place to be everywhere in America. I want everyone in America to have the opportunity to do this. I know. Carmen's over there. She says, I love this place. Mostly because of the dogs who love her. I just, you know, there's so many people who have these weird ideas that want to screw everything else.
For sale?
That house is for sale. It's empty.
Oh, it's empty.
Yes. But anyway, so let's get back to where we're at. So you're optimistic.
I am. Because it's not only the tariffs. We're talking about reducing taxes on income, yep, on Social Security.
Right.
Over time. And all those things are going to play in together. And it's going to make people spend more money. And that's what we want.
Well, we more people going out there buying stuff when they have the money. We don't want them doing a credit necessarily. But I look at Doge, and I know some people who are deep in Doge. And it is not, you know, 22-year-old incel nerds who've never kissed a girl just seeing a computer. There's some of that, right? There's some of the autistic guys.
Elon makes up for all that.
Well, Elon, holy crap. Elon's going to personally repopulate America. A lot of it is tech company businessmen who are rich and don't have to do this.
That's right.
And they're getting in there, and they're looking at the government like they'd look at their own company. Hey, you work for a very big company, we won't say which, and you, one of your jobs was to make sure stuff was efficient.
That's right.
And you'd be like, why are we spending, you know, why do we have a, you know, $100,000 contract a year to do XYZ when we have another contract that should cover that?
Sure. Right?
That's the kind of thing they're uncovering. And they're just like, this is insane. This is nuts.
So it's tariff. It's not the only thing. It's the combination of all the things that Trump's trying to accomplish.
Yes, it's not just tariff.
With the one big, happy big bill.
One big bill.
One big
bill. And you know, here's something I never thought I'd say. Way to go, Mike Johnson. Right? He's managed to get them to, you know, get one big beautiful bill on the way. I thought it was going to get screwed over by other Republicans, and he's managed to get. I mean, so far he keeps pulling this off.
Yeah, he
is. Now, I mean, he's no Nancy Pelosi. I mean, he's not, you know, made $200 million in the stock market. Wink, wink. But I'm not used to Republicans not screwing everything up.
I think he's going to do a good job. And soon in the Senate, he's going to make it happen as well.
I think it's going to happen. I want my tax cuts made permanent. And I was a small businessman for a while. I no longer run a small company like I used to when I was practicing law all the time. But, you know, one of the things that Trump's tax reform, he made us essentially equal to the big corporations because we're taxed different. We small businesses are taxed differently in many cases. That kind of evened it up because they had a huge advantage over us. That was huge. And it wasn't just like I took extra money and go, party. No, I hired people. You know, I invested in the company.
Correct. No taxes on overtime. No taxes on Social Security. No taxes on tips. That's huge for the middle class people. That's going to make this country move. It's going to make it grow along with all the other programs.
Especially when you get DOGE out there doing stuff and making it more efficient. And they're finding insane stuff. I mean, they're just finding all that, you know, people should be getting Social Security, all this stuff. And Democrats hate that. And it's like, what kind of lunatic takes the side of waste, fraud, and abuse?
A dumb Democrat.
I just, Trump is always ending up on the 80 side of 80-20 questions. It's like, you know, did you know the women's fencing championship?
I saw that.
It's two dudes. They could fence with their penises because they have penises. That's the women's championship, is literally two guys.
It's crazy.
As people were saying, the thing they said never happens has happened yet again.
It's not, that's not 80-20, that's 95-5.
Now, I've actually met someone, and I think you know this person. There's a person in the family, and we love this person, but this person thinks differently than we do. And this person was like, oh, no, they're women. Well, why do you think they're women? Because they say so. Okay, well, no, I don't agree with you. That's not a thing. Some of these people are just nuts.
We're not going to remove them from the family, but we're not.
No, it's a very nice person. We love her deeply. She's just wrong, and you're allowed to be wrong. And
we're not going to attack her.
Why would we attack her?
Yeah, because that's what a Democrat would do.
Well, they're Democrat. Well, I'm never going to talk to my family again because they like Trump. What kind of lunatic says that? I mean, that's crazy. That's just nuts. But that you do see that out there. People, well, I'm cutting off my family because they all like Trump. What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, if somebody in my family said, well, I do have people in the family who, some of the ones who live by, who probably like Obama. I've never talked to them about it. They probably like Obama or Democrats or whatever. It would never occur to me to cut them off because of that. That's just stupid.
And history will show that Obama was probably one of the worst presidents in the United States.
Oh, he was horrible for us. Biden, though. Biden's right down there at the bottom.
And Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. At least he got to die happy, knowing he wasn't the worst president in American history.
He's a good man, but he...
No, he wasn't. I don't agree he's a good man. I think he's an ass. Yeah. He was an anti-Semitic, smug jerk. Other people have different views of him. That's fine.
I don't agree on that, with you on that, but I don't hate you for it.
You don't have to agree with me. It's America.
Kurt?
We're both in the army. We both defended our rights to think what we wanted.
Kurt,
you escaped a country where you couldn't think what you wanted.
Kurt, I'm surprised you let me do so much work in this podcast.
I'm surprised. I haven't talked the whole time. You know me.
Yeah, well.
So what else do you think? Because we got a few more minutes and people are like, oh, Kurt's father-in-law. This should be interesting.
You know, people have to be patient. Things don't happen overnight.
Uh-huh.
And just wait a few weeks. Just like with the tariff, everything will start working out. Just like with the war in Ukraine, something's going to happen and Trump is going to solve it. Just with Iran, if they don't come to a deal pretty soon.
Oh, they're all going
to
die.
They're going to take care of it. So,
frankly, I don't want them to come to a deal. I want them to wipe out the Iranian nuclear program, the Iranian security state. And I disagree with some conservatives here. Some conservatives, well, we don't want war with Iran, blah, blah. No. I want war with Iran because we're already at war with Iran. We've been at war with them for 45 years. They've been killing our people for 45 years. Now the mullahs all need to die. And and I disagree with some conservatives, some of whom are my friends, who are like, well, you know, this is just another neocon war. They killed Americans. They all have to die. There's no freaking other way. There's no other solution. You kill an American, everybody around you needs to die.
Well,
and I, you know, I mean, this is the Romans used to do that too. I'm a Roman citizen, just one of me, and I'm telling you what's going to happen. You can kill me, but then a whole bunch of Romans are coming, and you're done.
Well, Hamas is done. Hezbollah is done. Houthis are done.
Well, Hamas should be, hopefully Hamas will be done.
Well, they just
let Israel do its job.
But I think that Trump has to, if Iran doesn't come to the table, quick, not all the BS.
Oh, I wouldn't even play the table thing. I negotiated like I negotiated as a lawyer when I held all the cards. Here's what you're going to do. Do you accept this? Because if you don't, that's okay too. I hope you don't. Again, I hope they don't solve this. I want a war with Iraq to Iran to destroy the Iranian regime.
The regime.
I actively want, that is my preferred solution, is a war to destroy it. Somebody's going to go, you're just a neocon. I'm not a neocon. They killed Americans. They all have to die. You know, I don't understand. If they kill your people and you don't kill them, you're not a man.
Well, that's instead of goal. Destroy Israel, destroy America.
Yeah.
What else you need? Just like the Chinese, not what you say.
And the Iranian people will take over and they'll be just a perfectly nice country. Persian people are very entrepreneurial, very much like the Cubans. Well-educated, entrepreneurial, very family-oriented. They're, you know, solid folk. And we see it in America, right? They've been very prosperous here. Why the hell can't they be prosperous at home? The other thing is, I would also invade Cuba and kill all the communists. That would be another thing that I would do.
Cuba is going to implode pretty soon.
We've been saying that for 60 years. I think we send the Marines in, kill all the communists. You don't want me in a position of authority. Because I, like, believe in history. And I remember how Genghis Khan handled shit. Because Genghis would go to a city and say, hey, give up, and you can be one of my cities, and I'm not going to hassle you. If you don't give up, I'm going to kill you all. And they'd be like, that's not very nice. They'd be like, I'm not a nice guy. I'm Genghis freaking Khan. Did you not read my LinkedIn bio? And, you know, that's how I would do it. I believe in playing your cards. When you have a good hand, you play the hell out of your cards, right?
Yes. I mean, listen, Kurt,
I'm an American. I only want us to win. That's all I care about.
We got a few countries to worry about. Nicaragua.
Oh, those bastards.
Venezuela.
She had a very nice Nicaraguan lady.
North Korea. Iran. What are we going to do? We can't kill them all.
Well, maybe you can. No, you just have to kill some of them. No, it's just, look, we gave peace a chance, like John Lennon said, and it worked out poorly. I believe in the classics. Like I said, I believe in Roman, you know, leadership. Rome was like, we're going to be cool to you, but if you screw with us, you're done. That's kind of where I'm at, you know? And, you know, I spent a lot of time overseas. I believe most foreigners are semi-literate savages who don't deserve to run their own lives, with a few exceptions. And, you know, they've just made a total mess of everything.
Somebody's going to have to hold Kurt back.
You don't want me as president.
I can,
you know, I remember when I was in Kosovo and I had a general, and the entire command was National Guard guys. We were, most of the commanders and senior leaders were trial lawyers from Los Angeles in Kosovo, about 50% of us. All right. And our commanding general was a trial lawyer. I was a trawler. He's a Kirk. We got to go negotiate with the UN. I said, oh, okay. He goes, all right, let's get in the helicopter. We're going. And we're in the helicopter. And I hate helicopters, right? Because they crash. You saw that video? That's, I don't like helicopters. But we're in a Black Hawk. And we're going. And he goes, Kirk, I'm going to be bad cop. You be worse cop. I said, Roger, sir.
No problem.
And these, oh my God, these UN guys, we're trying to get them to do something for us. They needed to move a person from here to there to solve a problem that could have resulted in violence. And we sit down with them, and there's this Czechoslovakian guy, and he's got this weird hair growing out of his nose. And I knew he had been, Czech intelligence. I just knew it before he went to the UN. And we had a couple others. And now, I didn't have any respect for the UN. Here's how dumb the UN is. Okay, if you're the United Nations and you have a choice of who you're going to put in charge of a customs post, do you put the German or the Nigerian?
Yeah.
You want to guess which one they put?
Yep.
Yes. It would be the Nigerian.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and... Hey, the general says, I would really like you to move person X to Y, and that'll defuse the situation. And this freaking guy starts going off on that. Well, you know, you can't really do it. The rules say, and she don't want to go, and you know, it's going to be really hard. And he stops talking. I go, listen, asshole, here's how this is going to freaking go. You're either going to move that bitch, or I'm going to show up with 5 200-pound MPs. We're going to drag her fucking ass out of that freaking building and throw her out in the street. I don't give a shit which one it is, but we're doing one of them. So you either move her or I'm moving her. And this guy looks at me like I am literally insane. And he looks at the general, and the general kind of like shrugs, and I swear I almost heard a wah, wah. They moved her.
Okay. If you work for Trump, he would have to hold you back. I don't think he would have enough time to hold you back.
The thing is, I'm very, bitey, knock it off. Barky, quit it. The thing is, I just have a sense of who I work for. And I work for the United States of America. And I am so glad that you guys are here. You know, like I said, I was born in the United States. In some ways, even though I've been overseas and I think I appreciate it, I don't appreciate the way you guys do because you guys chose to do it.
Yes, I used to think that Kirk was way too aggressive. And then, after listening...
Then history proved me
wrong. History proved me wrong, and listening to Rush Limbaugh, I realized that Kirk was right.
Well...
But now I'm beginning to think that he's really getting aggressive again. Somebody's going to have to...
Chill my ass out.
Yes.
Well, anyway, this has been a lot of fun, Mooney. Thank you very much. It's your birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Toast.
Yep.
A little of this delicious Basil Hayden whiskey. A hipster recommended it at the liquor store. I was like, hey, I need a whiskey that's good, and I need a whiskey that I don't know about. I said, try Basil Hayden. Roger, hipster. He had like one of those little beard things. You know the hipster thing. But anyway, that's why I love Houston. Hipsters. Okay, guys. This has been the Unredacted Podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. Follow me at Twitter, at Kurt Schlichter. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday are the columns. Arena and I have written a book, and it's going to come out soon. You can pre-order it, and you should. It's called Los Angeles, Silver Bullets Over Broadway. It's a noir kind of 50s, 40s-ish. Your fantasy novel. It is a lot of fun. There's guns. If you like Kelly Turnbull, you're going to like it. The humor is there. The fun is there. It's like, don't call it a conservative book. Dude, it's a conservative book. You totally want Los Angeles, Silver Bullets Over Broadway. It is a fantastic read. You'll dig it. Go read it. and dig on it and get the Kelly Turnbull books and The Attack. And there's going to be new books coming. So anyway, that is that's Unredacted for this time. Thank you for being members of Town Hall VIP, especially you Platinum members. Great stuff is coming up. It's going to be an amazing year. Thanks a lot. Adios. Bye.